Acts chapter 18. Acts in the New Testament chapter 18. And then our preschool and kindergarten through fourth grade can be dismissed. And then we are all going to be together in Acts chapter 18. Well, praise the Lord. We had a great start this morning at the Potter's House. The Lord gave us a great service there in the chapel. And we, as far as I know, we had at least three of the men who, was it four that went back to be counseled for salvation? And so thankful for that. And then there were several others that surrendered their life to the Lord. And so that is just a joy to my heart. To see what God is doing continuously in people's lives. And what a great ministry that is. We have men from the Potter's House that are attending our services here this morning. And again, I'm just so thankful for them, what God is doing in their life. And it is miraculous. It is nothing short of miraculous. And God just giving that grace as we respond. And we rejoice. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. Praise God. I'm just thankful, as the song was saying, to have my sins forgiven. I'm grateful for that. Positionally, I stand positionally before God, I stand with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I didn't earn that. God gave it to me by His grace when I believed on Him for salvation. That is an awesome thought, church. And what it should do is it should just truly inspire our hearts to worship and to be grateful and to just rejoice in the Lord. And I don't always live out that position. I do admit I fall short daily. I don't live out that position, but doesn't change the position that I have in Jesus Christ. And I hope to continually grow in grace. And I know you feel the same. In that way, where you found your place there in Acts chapter 18, I'm getting fired up, if you haven't recognized by now, about the Victory Gospel Crusade. This is big, folks. This is very big in the sense of just an all-out effort through some surrounding churches that are just concerned about the souls of men and women, boys and girls, to come to know Jesus, the true Savior, of and the giver of eternal life. And it's a concerted effort because it's got several purposes involved. One, it's to help us, if I can say it like this, it helps us to get out of the monotony of things. You know, sometimes we do. We just kind of get used to the Christian life where we just kind of go through the motions, and an event like this helps us to stir us to get motivated about what really is important, what really is to be the focus of God's people. And so I hope you'll be prayerful about it. I got some special announcements at the end that I want to bring to your attention, but I believe this is going to help. Maybe this is, some would say, well, that sounds a little over the top, Pastor. Well, I don't believe so, because I'm praying big. Because we have a big God. I don't want to pray as if I have a little God. I have a big God who's able to do the impossible. And I'm praying that it would bring about even a new chapter in the life of this local church. A new chapter of vision for eternity. A new chapter for God's people being united in their efforts to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm praying there'd be a revival and a new chapter of homes being on, just and dads and moms and children being on fire for the Lord. I believe God wants to do that. And I'm praying that these next 2 weeks would bring that. I realize there's going to be adversity. But thank God, as I'm going to mention here in just a moment, God uses adversity in our lives. Talk to any athlete. Is there such thing as any athlete growing stronger without adversity? No. It's impossible. It's even more so for the Christian life. And so may the Lord have His way in the coming weeks. And if you want more information, if you're not a member here and you want to be involved, I want you to know you are invited and you are welcomed. And it's going to be the time of our lives. Thomas Ingle, my good friend, he's preached here before, he pastors in Darlington. He told me this. He said, "Pastor," he said, my kids would rather go to a Victory Gospel Crusade than they would on vacation. He said, it is something that God is just using to bring excitement in the local church about what is important. And we have fun doing it and rejoicing in the Lord while we do it. So may God have His way in our lives. We're going to rest and depend upon Him. All right, Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. I'm going to begin reading. I think I'll start reading in verse number 5. Paul is on his second missionary journey, to give you the context. And he's been to Athens, as we have seen in previous chapter 17. And now he's making his way to the great city of Corinth. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit." That means he was really moved by the Holy Spirit. "And testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles.'" Now, what he's saying there is that he had preached the gospel to those Jews and they rejected him. And when he said he shook his raiment, that was symbolic of he had done what God had called him to do and they did not respond. He was not responsible for their rejection. So then he says in verse 7, "And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God and whose house joined hard to the synagogue." He was a keeper of the synagogue. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Now, do you notice how that just transpired? There was a rejection of the gospel, people blaspheming the gospel, being critical of it. And then Paul didn't give up. He said, "I'm going to keep going." And look what happened. Justus and Crispus, they got saved. Their families got saved and baptized. And I just want to say right off before I move any further, that is evidence, and we see it all throughout the Word of God, we never give up. Adversity, opposition, yes, it's natural. It's going to be there. But we never stop doing what God's calling us to do. Let's keep reading. And it says here in verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.'" With God's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, "Much People in the City." Much people in this city. Would you pray with me and please pray for me? Lord, we quiet our hearts here before the throne of grace. We come boldly, believing that you have a word for us today. And I pray that you'd use it to motivate us and mobilize us, to transform us and to conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the Word of God to have free course. I pray that, God, I'd have liberty up here. I do not depend on anything, Lord, other than your Spirit right now to speak to us, to these precious folks before me. Lord, I love you. You're so precious and so good. And we are going to depend on you utterly right now, completely. Please help. Please help us. And I believe you will, because we ask it in the name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Much people in the city. What city is he talking about? He's talking about the city of Corinth. Now, this city was not your typical city. It was a major city because there were two seaports located very closely by. Well, with that, you can understand that there's also a great amount of wickedness. Sexual immorality, just beyond imagination. You have pagan worship. You have idolatry. You have so many things going on here that it is just hard for us to imagine. And Paul has been led to this city for a purpose. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. God has a purpose for Paul being in the city of Corinth. And can I just make application here? You have a purpose for being where you are. You have a purpose for being in the neighborhood, the town, the village, whatever you want to call it, the area you're in. And I want you to see that God is going to use you, and He's going to use me, as we see, as Paul saw. God has a purpose in this. You see, needy places. Paul came to Athens and he was by himself. And he got the shock of his life when all these people were worshiping all these idols. And then even there was an idol to the unknown God. And he's like, what? And he preaches Christ unto them. He begins with creation and he works with the God of the universe, the Creator, and he works all the way through to the cross and he preaches the gospel unto them. But that's where he came from, Athens. But then God led him to Corinth. There he got some good news from Silas and Timotheus there and Timothy. And he got some good news that there were great things happening in Thessalonica. That was an encouragement to him. Isn't the Christian life very interesting? It is. No dull moments in the life of faith. Adrian Rogers said that the Christian life is good and evil going side by side like a railroad track. And that's so true. There's always good and evil taking place, and understanding you just better be on the right side. And that's where we understand we never are going to escape evil in this life until we get to heaven. Now, we can escape from being evil, and we should. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be times of opposition and adversity. And so he got discouraged there at first, but then he had good news. Hey, God's doing a work in Thessalonica. Man, they're burning idols. They're throwing them away. They're turning from their immorality. They're turning from their blasphemy. They're turning from their slander and all these things, man. They're turning from disunity and they're turning to God. Unto God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he sees these people rejecting in Corinth. And he basically says, I've preached, I'm turning to the Gentiles. Now, he says that because that's where God's called him. Gentiles, non-Jews. And so, is he going to neglect the Jews? Obviously not, because the following verses talk about two Jews getting saved. They were near the synagogue, keeping the synagogue. So he didn't lose his focus on reaching the Jewish people. Paul was a Jew, he cared about the Jewish people, and he was going to still get the gospel to them. But his focus, his main focus, his main mission was going to be to the Gentiles. But with that came some intimidation. You say Paul was intimidated? Hey, if you read throughout the epistles and even in Corinthians, you'll see where Paul even ministered with fear and trembling. And I believe the message that Paul is getting ready to receive from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a message of encouragement. As a message to stay focused. A message to not lose the purpose of his life. It was going to be miraculous. And I want to look at that together. Paul is being sent to a needy place in this city. Listen, folks, it is no surprise to any of us this morning that we have been put in needy places. going down Crooked Creek Road and Cane Creek Road and beyond in Athens. You go down to Athens and we're going to see, you go down the streets where there's the fraternity houses, schools starting up, 35,000 students coming on, and then there's just going to be a drunken fest that's going to be taking place here in the next few weeks as they're trying to get into these certain fraternities and whatnot and sororities and whatnot, and it's just straight up wicked things that are taking place right here in our city, Athens, Georgia. People coming on campus thinking that they're going to find freedom and they're going to actually find bondage. They're going to find self-destruction. In this city, South Jackson, speak to those in our area in law enforcement and you will understand very quickly that there is a drug epidemic in this county. Methamphetamines, cocaine, drunkenness, you name it. It's all around us and it's in this city. And I believe that we need to recognize that we have a responsibility to reach this city. This is where God's planted us. And I believe this church is serious about it. And by the way, the more serious we're about it, the more opposition we will receive. But as someone once said, hey, the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. It happens, but we know that God has opened up a door, and He's opening up a door to the Apostle Paul here. He has a message for him. Let me give you these quickly if you're taking notes. If you're taking notes, notice with me, number one, the message that Jesus gives to Paul in a dream, in a vision. He says, first of all, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid. Let me stop right there. It is automatically implied that Paul was suffering from fear. You ever been scared? I have. You have too. We face it more than we realize. We care so much about what people think. We care so much about what's going to happen in the future. All those things can have an effect on us being fearful people. Maybe it's a diagnosis that we get. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's our children. There are things that come into our life that cause us to be people that are scared. Maybe it's a wayward child or whatever the case may be. There's so many avenues there. But I want to tell you that a message is coming to Paul here and it's coming to us too. And that is, don't be afraid. That's what he says. He says to Paul, first of all, be not afraid. What was Paul fearful about? I don't know, but it was something and he had to get over this. I'm convinced that we will never be the people God wants us to be until we get over the spirit of fear. We care way too much about what the rest of the world thinks instead of thinking and being concerned of what God thinks, what God desires, what has God commanded us, what is He doing, and being right with the Lord. And if it disappoints man for us being right with God, let them be disappointed. But I'm walking with God, and I will, and I hope you will, always be willing to admit your mistakes when you step out of line from God and you get back with Him by confessing sin. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have to be afraid. God is with me. And brethren, I want to tell you something you already know, but faith and courage are not learned in comfortable settings. This world we live in is all about comfort. It's all about convenience. Give me a Christianity that's comfortable and convenient and just I'll be satisfied. But that's not New Testament Christianity. Jesus promised us that there would be times where there would be affliction, but He gives it, He couples it with a message, don't be afraid. Serving God can be a lonely place at times. Jesus was lonely at times. Paul was lonely at times. He talks about it there in Timothy, where he said, "Man, everybody forsook me. No man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me." There'll be times in your Christian life where you will feel, and in your heart, you'll feel like it's just you and the Lord. You're in good company. Paul said, "No man stood with me." That means even those of his friends, there was no one with him at that time. And that's why I'm so glad when the message says, "Don't be afraid." When we're going into this city, yes, going on campus, and by the way, the Lord's opened up 3 days that we get to be on the University of Georgia's campus in the coming 2 weeks. We get a 6-hour time frame on each of those days. That's 18 hours total. I did pay attention a little bit in math, all right? So not much, but I can get that. 6 times 3, all right? But nevertheless, 18 hours where we get to try to be a light in a dark place. In this city, where we're going up and down the streets inviting people to the church or to the tent meeting. In this city, Jesus says, "I have much people in this city." I believe He does. Yes, fear is a natural feeling. It's a very real one. However, we must confront fear with God's Word. Because God says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid." I believe we ought to just take God at His Word. And when I'm scared and I'm shaking in my boots, because it happens more than I like to admit, I'm just going to choose an attitude and an obedience contrary to the way I feel. And by the way, that is a lot of your Christian life. You have to choose an attitude that is contrary to the way you feel. And you're not being a hypocrite. You're being obedient. You can even be honest to the Lord and say, "God, I don't feel like doing this. I don't like this, but God, this is right. And I'm choosing to believe that You have told me not to be afraid, and I'm just going to obey You, and I'm going to keep marching forward." It doesn't mean you're not a real human being that struggles with it. You do. But you let it be overcome with faith in what God has said. And that's what it comes to my next point here. We can't chicken out and check out. We got to know that God is with us. He says, "Be not afraid." Number two, the point is, don't stop speaking. Notice what He said to Paul. He said, "Be not afraid." But what's the next two words, church? All right, there's three of you that answered right there. Look at chapter 18, verse 9. This is the Lord speaking. He said, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision." He said, "Be not afraid," was the first thing. What are the next two words? But, oh yeah, that was almost all of you. Praise the Lord. But speak! Don't be paralyzed by fear. Young people starting up school, when you go to class, I hope you're inviting your friends to church. I hope you're giving them gospel tracts. I hope you're going to FCA meetings. I hope you're going to Good News Club meetings. I hope you're doing everything you can to speak the gospel. Let God use you. There at the university, I'm so thankful for we have students that are here attending our church. They're students at the university. Speak. That's what He said. Don't stop speaking, Paul. He said, I like what He says here. He says, "But speak and hold not thy peace." Now, there's some things we should stop speaking about. Lord knows we should stop complaining. Lord knows we should stop being critical. Lord knows we should stop gossiping. Lord knows we should stop having filthy language. There's some things that we should stop speaking about. But praise God, I'm thankful we have full liberty to speak the gospel at all times. Speak! Speak! Speak Jesus! Speak Him! Talk about Him! Proclaim Him! That's why we're here. That's what we're doing, brother. I'm telling you, sister, that's why God's put you here. It's this city that needs to hear Jesus spoken of and about. And so we're going to go. We're going to do it just like the message here. Don't be afraid, Paul. Don't be afraid, Brinson. Don't be afraid, Miss Kathy. Don't be afraid, Caleb. Mr. Ralph, don't be afraid. Cody, don't be afraid. We could go through every one of our names. Don't be afraid, but speak. God says, you're in Corinth. I know they're wicked. I know they don't like you and they hate me and they hate my message. I know that. I know they're going to talk bad about you and blaspheme you. I know all of that. I even knew it before you knew. I've known it all along. But I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Speak. Don't be silent. That old idiom of the cat got your tongue. In other words, you're a little bashful to say it. We've all been there. And by the way, the history on that's kind of weird. I don't know if you ever read up on that, but they said in like Roman for consequences of blasphemy and the Roman punishment there was that they would cut your tongue out and feed it to cats. Now you can Google that. I don't know, but nevertheless, I don't know, that sounded kind of nasty to me, and it kept people from wanting to say the wrong things. But I'm afraid that some people, the cat's got our tongue on when it comes to speaking the gospel. And we don't have anything to be afraid of. We can speak the gospel because God has told us to speak it. And there's a time not to speak. I think upon even that song from the kids sing, Let's Talk About Jesus. I love that song. I might even try to sing it. We might even sing it together. It's a good song. It goes, Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Earth Supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's sing it together. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. Lord of Earth Supreme. Throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Listen, we got 10,000 tracks that we've ordered. We got tickets we've ordered to go out and speak about Jesus. These next 2 weeks are going to have opportunities for you to go in your city, in this city, where God has told you to invite people. These people we're praying for that have been placed even on this cross and others that we hadn't even made it there, but are on our hearts. It's our opportunity to speak the name of Jesus. I think upon the disciples in Acts chapter 5 verse 40. They had just taken a good beating. By the way, let's be careful. I know the persecution compared to what they experienced here pales in comparison to what they experienced. Now, we do get persecuted. There are times where a Christian would get persecuted for what he believes and where he stands, walking with the Lord, trying to do what's right. You're going to get it. But these people were beat. I don't know that anybody's in this room has ever been beat up for your faith, for your walk with God. Maybe you have, and you can relate with these. But the fact of the matter is, notice what they did after they let them go. They commanded them not to speak the name of Jesus. And this is Acts chapter 5, verse 40. But notice what it says. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. Notice this next word. Shame. Shame. They said, we were rejoicing because we were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And I love the next verse. In the daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's not stop speaking. Number three, don't be afraid. Don't stop speaking. Number three, don't think you're alone. Notice what it says in the text. I may have you read it with me again. All right. Notice there, verse 10. For I am with thee. All right. Excuse me. Verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. And notice verse 10. Let's say those first words together. For I. One more time. For I. There's the promise of His presence. You have the promise of the presence of God. When you decide not to be afraid, to trust Him and to speak, you can guarantee the presence of God is going to be with you. You are not alone. You are not alone. He says, I'm with you. and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Now, in this case, Paul was going to be completely protected from physical harm. Now, God didn't protect him in some of the other places. He was nearly stoned to death. He was whipped. He was ridiculed. Many times he was hurt. But there are times that God does allow it. I heard it like this one time. Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes He lets the storm rage, but He calms the heart. And God will do that many times. He'll either calm the storm, and the heart gets calmed through that, or the storm will be raging, and He will calm the heart. We can trust Him. But this time He says, I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to let a person hurt you. And He claimed that. He says, I'm with you. Spurgeon considered the promise of Jesus, for I am with you. He said this. He said he believes it emphasized three things, and I love this. Spurgeon said he believes I am with you emphasized the presence of Jesus, the sympathy of Jesus, and the cooperation with Jesus, of Jesus, excuse me. Let me say that again. I am with you emphasized three things, the presence of Jesus, the sympathy of Jesus, and the cooperation with Jesus. That is such a blessing. Jesus is with us. He knows our hurts. He knows the struggle. He knows it when I'm afraid. He knows it when I'm failed and I get back up. He's always there. He's cooperating and He's working in our lives. We are doing that together. Jesus is not going to leave us alone. He promises us over and over in the Word of God. Hebrews even 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus has promised His presence. And He is here. And He is with me. Just like He was with those Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. The Son of Man was there. Jesus is there. And as we go about with much people in this city, Jesus is with us when we're rejected. Jesus is with us when perhaps we're mocked or ridiculed. Jesus is with us when one trusts Christ as their Savior. Jesus is with us when a family is revived. Jesus is with us when kids get saved. Jesus is with us through it all. I'm thankful for that. The message is don't be afraid. Don't stop speaking. Don't think you're alone. And then fourthly, in closing, don't forget the mission. You've probably guessed where I got that from. Don't forget the mission. Notice what he says at the end of verse 10. Would you look there with me and let's say it together. For I have much people in this city. One more time. For I have much people in this city. That's the mission. It's the mission. I hope me being silent doesn't make you feel awkward. I think sometimes we just need to be silent more often. Just think upon the Word. Jesus said, don't be afraid. He said, speak. Don't be silent. Speak Jesus. Number three, He said, you're not alone. And then fourthly, He said, I have much people in this city for you to reach. And so my prayer is that each of us will take the responsibility of reaching the people in this city. I don't want to stand before the Lord Jesus one day and hear, and I don't know how it all will transpire, but I do not want to hear, Brinson, why did you not go across the street and invite that person to church or to a special meeting, tent meeting? Why didn't you go out around the church and into Athens to where I wanted the light of the gospel to shine brightly? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, and so do you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You went to Athens. You went to your neighbor. You went out as a church. You didn't let adversity stop you. You stayed faithful. You spoke the name of Jesus. You were not ashamed of me. You believed in my presence even when your feelings told you contrary. Even when your feelings were saying one thing, you said, no, we're going to do what's right. We're going to obey the Lord. I need a revival in reaching souls. Do you see people around you? Do you see them as a souls, eternal souls, for whom Jesus died? I never will get over the illustration of Private Desmond Doss. You may have seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, where he basically saved an amazing amount of people that would have died. But he was a conscientious objector because of his faith, and he decided not to use a weapon. But he was a medic, and there was one battle where he himself alone went out, and I believe it was over 70 men, many who had cursed him and mocked him in boot camp because they thought he was a pansy, a wimp, and an embarrassment to the United States of America. He was beat up. They beat him up. But some of those same ones he saved that day. One by one, he went out under enemy fire. One by one. And in fact, there was one testimony that I never will forget. One of the guys that really despised Desmond said, I've never been so wrong in my life about a person. He did not let that adversity. He could have said, fooey with y'all. You're going to beat me up and mock me and curse me. You can have it. I'm out of here. But he didn't. And there are people in this city that may not like you for who you stand for and what you are. But don't let them stop you from going to those that will listen, that will be ready. And one day, especially those that mock, one day, hopefully, they will see that your faith was real. And you weren't there to impress anybody. You weren't living in fear. You weren't going through the motions. You were a real Christian. And you stayed faithful. Let's be that one. Don't be afraid. Don't stop speaking. Hey, I'm with you. Much people in this city. Would you pray with me?